here. Well, at least it is for us boys. So if the robots in the future are going around with cherry lip gloss for fingers, at least now you know how it all got started. Thursday. In school today, they had a general assembly and showed the movie It's Great to Be Me, which they show us every year. The movie is all about how you should be happy with who you are and not change anything about yourself. To be honest with you, I think that's a really dumb message to be telling kids, especially the bullies at my school. Later on, they made an announcement that there are some openings on the safety patrols, and that got me thinking. If someone picks on a safety patrol, it can get them suspended. The way I figure it, I can use any extra protection I can get. Plus, I realized that maybe being in a position of authority could be good for me. I went down to Mr. Winsky's office and signed myself up, and I got Rowley to sign up too. I thought Mr. Winsky would make us do a bunch of chin-ups or jumping jacks or something to prove we were up for the job, but he just handed us our belts and badges on the spot. Mr. Winsky said the openings were for a special assignment. Our school is right next to the elementary school, and they've got a half-day kindergarten there. He wants us to walk the morning session kids home in the middle of the day. I realized that meant we would miss 20 minutes of pre-algebra. Rowley must have figured that out too, because he started to speak up. But I gave him a wicked pinch underneath the desk before he could finish his sentence. I couldn't believe my luck. I was getting instant bully protection and a free pass from half of pre-algebra, and I didn't even have to lift a finger. Tuesday. Today was our first day as safety patrols. Me and Rowley don't technically have stations like all the other patrols, so that means we don't have to stand out in the freezing cold for an hour before school. But that didn't stop us from coming to the cafeteria for the free hot chocolate they hand out to the other patrols before homeroom. Another great perk is that you get to show up 10 minutes late for first period. I'm telling you, I've got it made with this safety patrol thing. At 12:15, me and Rowley left school and walked the kindergartners home. The whole trip ate up 45 minutes, and there were only 20 minutes of pre-algebra left when we got back. Walking the kids home was no sweat, but one of the kindergartners started to smell a little funny, and I think maybe he had an accident in his pants. He tried to let me know about it, but I just stared straight ahead and kept walking. I'll take these kids home, but believe me, I didn't sign up for any diaper duty. February. Wednesday. Today it snowed for the first time this winter, and school was canceled. We were supposed to have a test in pre-algebra, and I've kind of slacked off ever since I became a safety patrol, so I was psyched. I called Rowley and told him to come over. Me and him have been talking about building the world's biggest snowman for the past couple of years now. And when I say the world's biggest snowman, I'm not kidding. Our goal is to get into the Guinness Book of World Records. But every time we've gotten serious about going for the record, all the snow has melted, and we've missed our window of opportunity. So this year, I wanted to get started right away. When Rowley came over, we started rolling the first snowball to make the base. I figured the base was going to have to be at least 8 feet tall on its own if we wanted to have a shot at breaking the record. But the snowball got real heavy, and we had to take a bunch of breaks in between rolls so we could catch our breath. During one of our breaks, Mom came outside to go to the grocery store, but our snowball was blocking her car in, so we got a little free labor out of her. After our break, me and Rowley pushed that snowball until we couldn't push it any farther, but when we looked behind us, we saw the mess we had made. The snowball had gotten so heavy that it tore up all the sod Dad had just laid down this fall. I was hoping it would snow a few more inches and cover up our tracks, but just like that, it stopped snowing. Our plan to build the world's biggest snowman was starting to fall apart, so I came up with a better idea for our snowball. Every time it snows, The kids from Worley Street use our hill for sledding, even though this isn't their neighborhood. So tomorrow morning, when the Worley Street kids come marching up our hill, me and Rowley are going to teach those guys a lesson. Thursday. When I woke up this morning, the snow was already starting to melt, so I told Rowley to hurry up and get down to my house. While I was waiting for Rowley to show up, I watched Manny trying to build a snowman out of the piddly crumbs of snow that were left over from our snowball. It was actually kind of pathetic. I really couldn't help doing what I did next. Unfortunately for me, right at that moment, Dad was at the front window. I kicked the head off Rowley's snowman. Dad was already mad at me for tearing up the sod, so I knew I was in for it. I heard the garage door open, and I saw Dad coming outside. He marched right out, carrying a snow shovel, and I thought I was going to have to make a run for it. But Dad was heading for my snowball, not me, and in less than a minute, he reduced all our hard work to nothing. Rowley came by a few minutes later. I thought he might actually get a kick out of what happened. But I guess he had his heart set on rolling that snowball down the hill, and he was really mad. But get this, Rowley was mad at me for what Dad did. I told Rowley he was being a big baby, and we got in a shoving match. Right when it looked like we were going to get in an all-out fight, we got ambushed from the street by 1,000 snowballs. It was a hit-and-run by the Worley Street kids. And if Mrs. Levine, my English teacher, was there, I'm sure she would have said the whole situation was ironic. Wednesday. Today at school, they announced there's an opening for the cartoonist job in the school paper. There's only one comic slot, and up until now, this kid named Brian Little has been hogging it all to himself. Brian has this comic called Wacky Dog, and when it started off, it was actually pretty funny. But lately, Brian's been using his strip to handle his personal business. I guess that's why they gave him the axe. His last one went like this. Hey, Wacky Dog, say something funny. Actually, I have something serious on my mind today. Susan Lim, if you are reading this, Brian is very sorry he kissed your best friend Rachel behind the lockers. He hopes you can find it in your heart to forgive him. P.S. Barry Palmer, you still owe Brian $5, you bum. As soon as I heard the news, I knew I had to try out. Wacky Dog made Brian Little a celebrity at our school, and I wanted to get in on some of that kind of fame. I had a taste of what it's like to be famous at my school when I won honorable mention in this anti-smoking contest they had. All I did was trace a picture from one of Roderick's heavy metal magazines and write on it, "Don't smoke or you'll look like me." But luckily, no one ever found out. The kid who won first place is named Chris Carney, and what kind of ticks me off is that Chris smokes at least a pack of cigarettes a day. Thursday. Me and Rowley decided to team up and do a cartoon together. So after school today, he came over to my house and we got to work. We banged out a bunch of characters real quick, but that turned out to be the easy part. When we tried to think up some jokes, we kind of hit a wall. I finally came up with a good solution. I made up a cartoon where the punchline of every strip is, "Zoo-wee, Mama." That way, we wouldn't get bogged down with having to write actual jokes, and we could concentrate on the pictures. For the first couple of strips, I did the writing and drew the characters, and Rowley drew the boxes around the pictures. One kid says, "Step on a crack, break your mama's back." The other kid says, "Yeah, right," and steps on the crack. Then a doctor says, "Hey, Timmy, your mother slipped on a banana peel, and P.S., she is dead." And Timmy says, "Zoo-wee, Mama." Rowley started complaining that he didn't have enough to do, so I let him write a few of the strips. But to be honest with you, there was a pretty obvious drop in quality once Rowley started doing the writing. There's a kid waiting in line. "I have been waiting 3 hours to get a hamburger." He gets to the counter. "Finally, "One hamburger, please." The cashier says, "I'm sorry, sir. We are all sold out." "Zoo-wee, mama." Eventually, I got kind of sick of the zoo-wee mama idea, and I pretty much let Rowley take over the whole operation. And believe it or not, Rowley's drawing skills are worse than his writing skills. I told Rowley maybe we should just come up with some new ideas, but he just wanted to keep writing zoo-wee mamas. Then he packed up his comics and went home, which was fine by me. I don't really want to be partnered up with a kid who doesn't draw noses anyway. Friday. After Rowley left yesterday, I really got to work on some comics. I came up with this character called Creighton the Cretan, and I got on a roll. Creighton the Cretan by Greg Heffley. "Hi, my name is Creighton."
"No, it isn't. Your name is Stuart Pidd."
"Oops. Hi, I'm Stu Pidd." I must have banged out 20 strips, and I didn't even break a sweat. I wonder what is in this cute little box.
"That's not a box. It's a brick, you dumb moron."
"Oops, I have been trying to open it all day." "Doctor, could I have a new butt? My old one has a crack in it."
"Creighton, I told you a million times, everyone's butt has a crack in it."
"Oh, yeah, I forgot." The great thing about these Creighton the Cretan comics is that with all the idiots running around my school, I will never run out of new material. When I got to school today, I took my comics to Mr. Ira's office. He's the teacher who runs the school newspaper. But when I went to turn my strips in, I saw that there was a pile of comics from other kids who were trying out for the job. Most of them were pretty bad, so I wasn't too worried about the competition. Girls Rule by Tabitha Cutter and Lisa Russell. "Don't walk near our lunch table, Tyler Green."
"Yeah, you're not even cute."
"Ha ha 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 ha! Girls Rule!" One of the comics was called Dumb Teachers, and it was written by this kid named Bill Tritt. Bill is always in detention, so I guess he has a bone to pick with just about every teacher in the school, including Mr. Ira. So I'm not too worried about the chances of Bill's comic getting in either. Dumb Teachers by Bill Tritt.
"Hey, Mr. Ira, you pooped your pants again."
"Nuh-uh."
"Yaha."
There were actually one or two decent comics in the bin, but I slipped them under a pile of paperwork on Mr. Ira's desk. Hopefully, those ones won't turn up until I'm in high school. Thursday. Today, during morning announcements, I got the news I was hoping for.
"And the new cartoonist for the school paper is Greg Heffley."
The paper came out today at lunchtime, and everyone was reading it. I really wanted to pick up a copy to see my name in print, but I decided to just play it cool for a while instead. I sat at the end of the lunch table so there would be plenty of room for me to start signing autographs for my new fans. But nobody was coming over to tell me how great my comic was, and I started to get the feeling something was wrong. I grabbed a paper and went into the bathroom to check it out. And when I saw my comic, I practically had a heart attack. Mr. Ira told me he had made some minor edits to my comic. I thought he just meant he fixed spelling mistakes and stuff like that. But he totally butchered it. The comic he ruined was one of my favorite ones, too. In the original, Creighton the Cretan is taking a math test, and he accidentally eats it. And then the teacher yells at him for being such a moron. By the time Mr. Ira was done with it, you practically couldn't recognize it as the same strip. Creighton, the Curious Student by Gregory Heffley. "Teacher, if X plus 43 equals 89, then what would X be?"
"Creighton, X would be 46.
"Thanks. Kids, if you want to learn more about math, be sure to visit Mr. Humphrey during his office hours, or visit the library and check out the newly expanded math and science section."
So I'm pretty sure I won't be signing autographs anytime soon.
March. Wednesday. Me and Rowley were enjoying our hot chocolate in the cafeteria with the rest of the patrols today, and there was an announcement on the loudspeaker.
Rowley Jefferson, report to Mr. Winsky's office immediately.
Rowley went down to Mr. Winsky's office, and when Rowley came back 15 minutes later, he looked pretty shaken up. Apparently, Mr. Winsky got a call from a parent who said they witnessed Rowley terrorizing the kindergartners when he was supposed to be walking them home from school. And Mr. Winsky was really mad about it. Rowley said Mr. Winsky yelled at him for about 10 minutes and said his actions disrespected the badge. You know, I think I might just know what this is all about. Last week, Rowley had to take a quiz during fourth period, so I walked the kindergartners home on my own. It had rained that morning, and there were a lot of worms on the sidewalk. So I decided to have some fun with the kids, and kind of chased them around for a while. But some neighborhood lady saw what I was doing, and she yelled at me from her front porch. It was Mrs. Irvine, who was friends with Rowley's mom. She must have thought I was Rowley, because I was borrowing his coat. And I wasn't about to correct her either. I forgot about the whole incident until today. Anyway, Mr. Winsky told Rowley he's going to have to apologize to the kindergartners tomorrow morning, and that he's suspended from patrols for a week. I knew I should probably just tell Mr. Winsky it was me who chased the kids with the worms, but I wasn't ready to set the record straight just yet. I knew if I confessed, I'd lose my hot chocolate privileges. And that right there was enough to make me keep quiet for the time being. At dinner tonight, Mom could tell something was bothering me, so she came up to my room afterward to talk. I told her I was in a tough situation, and I didn't know what to do. I gotta give Mom credit for how she handled it. She didn't try to pry and get all the details. All she said was that I should try to do the right thing, because it's our choices that make us who we are. I figure that's pretty decent advice, but I'm still not 100% sure what I'm going to do tomorrow. Thursday. Well, I was up all night tossing and turning over this Rowley situation, but I finally made up my mind. I decided the right thing to do was to just let Rowley take one for the team this time around. On the way home from school, I came clean with Rowley and told him the whole truth about what happened, and how it was me who chased the kids with the worms. Then I told him there were lessons we could both learn from this. I told him I learned to be more careful about what I do in front of Mrs. Irvine's house, and that he learned a valuable lesson too, which is this: be careful about who you lend your coat to. To be honest with you, my message didn't seem to be getting through to Rowley. We were supposed to hang out after school today, but he said he was just going to go home and take a nap. I couldn't really blame him, because if I didn't have my hot chocolate this morning, I wouldn't have had much energy either. When I got home, Mom was waiting for me at the front door.
"Did you do the right thing?" she asked.
"Oh, yeah," I said. Mom took me out to get some ice cream as a special treat, and what this whole episode has taught me is that every once in a while, it's not such a bad idea to listen to your mother. Tuesday. There was another announcement on the loudspeaker today, and to be honest with you, I kind of figured this one was coming.
Greg Heffley, please report to Mr. Winsky's office.
I knew it was just a matter of time before I got busted for what happened last week. When I got to Mr. Winsky's office, he was really mad. Mr. Winsky told me that an anonymous source had informed him that I was the real culprit in the worm-chasing incident. Then he told me I was relieved of my safety patrol duties, effective immediately. Well, it doesn't take a detective to figure out that the anonymous source was Rowley. I can't believe Rowley went and backstabbed me like that. While I was sitting there getting chewed out by Mr. Winsky, I was thinking, I need to remember to give my friend a lecture about loyalty. Later on today, Rowley got reinstated as a patrol, and get this, he actually got a promotion. Mr.